Welcome to Women Kicking Glass, the only radio show on OC Talk Radio dedicated to empowering women to be the best leaders they can be in any endeavor they choose. Patty Grimm is our host and interviews top women in a variety of fields to help women grow, learn, and lean in together. Patty has over 25 years of experience in primarily male-dominated fields in senior-level management positions. Patty is the owner of Advantage Training Limited, an organizational leadership team training company. She recently released her new book for women called Quiet Women Never Changed History, Be Strong, Stand Out, and Stand Up, with the subtitle, Let's Go Kick Some Glass.
All right, and that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to kick a lot of glass this morning here with Patty Grimm.
Hey, thanks, Paul. And so this is Patty. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in today and for listening on the Podbean. I'm really excited to have my guest here today, but I want to talk just a couple minutes about the show, and that the purpose of the show is a community outreach service for women and for the things and issues that we all face. So each week we'll talk about things such as climbing the corporate ladder and how do you get that job or raise you deserve, or maybe you've decided you're done with the corporate world and you either want to start a nonprofit or maybe you want to start your own business like our guest Brandy today, who has her own coaching business. We'll also talk about social issues, things that have impacted us, like raising brave girls, cyberbullying. We'll even have a guest recently coming on in the next couple of weeks on heart disease and how it impacts women, which is one of the biggest killers of women that we know about. And so my guest today is Brandy Martin, and Brandy is a bright, bubbly, probably the youngest guest I've had so far. She's also a member of NABO, the National Association of Women Business Owners, because she actually owns her own business. So Brandy Martin is a professional life coach that runs her practice in Orange County. She specializes in creating goals-oriented success with her clients through strengthening their communication skills and helping them find the primary focus and purpose in life. Brandy received her master's degree in marriage and family therapy from Chapman University. She began her career working as a mental health professional, working a lot with families and children, which I think we'd like to talk a little bit about today. She's finishing her mental health therapist for the District of Fullerton and focusing a lot on preteens. And she fell in love with his work because she has a passion for guiding her clients to find the best thing they can do, which fits my personal vision, which is to make a difference and empower people to reach their full potential. So we have some cool things in common. But she really focuses on creating a journey within her clients and empowering them to either find a position or find a way in their life that pushes them outside of their comfort zone. She's got a professional background in therapy and collaborates with clients to help them reach their goals and their full potential for sustainable happiness. So I really, really, really like that. So Brandy, tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
So I decided to become a life coach because when I was in grad school and I saw a lot of these clients, we worked in a clinic, I kept getting the sense like this theme kept coming up about purpose. What is my purpose? And a lot of my clients tended to be from the baby boomer generation, and they were going through sort of this like midlife crisis type of certain stance in their life. And I kept thinking like, you know, this isn't really anxiety. It's not really depression. It's some kind of loss of meaning. And that's what really got me interested in coaching. And it's outside of a therapy box. It's not just 50 minutes once a week. Let's focus on something clinical. You need a diagnosis. And so that's what made me really steer more towards coaching and opening my own practice and trying to learn all kinds of different things to work with my clients and have a plan with them.
Yeah. Yeah, it was interesting because when I worked at Microsoft, I tell people I hit the wall, and I became one of those baby boomers that had worked their whole career and had all of a sudden looked around, had lost sense of my purpose, I'd lost sense of my mission, I'd lost sense of my family. I worked 60, 70, 80 hours a week. I worked every weekend, and when people asked me on Monday what I did, I said, I worked. What else would you do? And I really lost sense of myself, so I went to a professional coach like Brandy. Her name happened to be Patty, and we were both rowers, so we had something in common. But she really helped me regain that sense of purpose to my life and realize I had lost touch with my values, my beliefs, my spirituality, and really helped me get back to where I am today. And so I really talk about this pretty openly in my presentations when I'm talking to different women's groups about we all hit the wall. And one of my goals is when I do presentations is to either help people avoid hitting the wall, or if they hit it, recognize it sooner and get help and go find a coach. Mm-hmm. So being a business owner at 25 and also a millennial, how do you react to comments from clients who say, well, you just don't have enough experience. You just don't understand what it's like, Brandy.
You know, I agree with him. I haven't been in this business for X amount of years, but I do think that what I can bring is that being here, you know, I've had the most current research and the most up-to-date classes and, you know, a lot of the social trends and a lot of the social media fads. I think a lot of those things start impacting the clients that we see. And also a lot of these clients that approach me and talk about my experience, I'm oftentimes end up helping their kids and working with their families and kind of just bridging that gap between those two generations and being relatable to all stems of the family, especially working with kids and families. So
yeah,
that's usually how I respond when they say, you know, having that stigma, I really want to prove prove them wrong and show them that we, I think this millennial generation has a lot to offer.
Yeah, yeah. So you received your training in therapy, yet you're practicing life coaching. Can you explain to us what the difference between being a life coach and a therapist is?
Well, I think, and a lot of professionals may agree or disagree with this, but therapy is definitely more focused on mental health and creating a diagnosis. There's a specific plan through the Behavioral Board of Science about getting an assessment, finding the presenting problem with the client, what they're coming in with, and really exploring and processing things with the client and sometimes coming up with a diagnosis using measures and scales. And I think the difference with coaching and just like a soccer coach or a basketball coach or someone inspirational that you've had when you were younger is someone that really pushes you and works on a path with you. And a lot of my clients will come in with specific goals and we have this kind of primary focus of three main things, what's happening right now. And I work with them, not for them. I don't do things for them. And we come up with a plan together and I'm kind of like that, which is why I like to call it a coach, someone who cheers them on with their successes every week and someone who helps process if it's a failure every week and figuring out how we can rework that for them to be successful the following week.
I think the myth some people think that is that people that are really successful have never failed or they've never had a problem. There are a lot of very, very successful executives at all levels, men and women, that have a coach. They have a business coach. They have a life coach because they can't. Many times you can't talk to somebody in your company. You can't go to HR if you're the head of the company, if you own the company, and ask for help. It just probably wouldn't work well. You can't go to somebody within the company. And so you need this outside coach that asks the right questions, that's a cheerleader, but also pushes you, like you said in the introduction, helps push people outside their comfort zone.
Yeah, I really want my clients. I always say to them, if you're uncomfortable, then I'm doing my job right.
Exactly.
Right. This isn't like a comfortable experience because if you're coming in for personal growth and these clients are coming in feeling stuck, like they have no option, then the choice is to be uncomfortable, to make those decisions you haven't decided or figuring out those blocks that were in your way and why you haven't done it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So why do people decide to have a life coach or hire one?
I think this whole fad with this professional growth has become so, especially, you know, starting in the 2000s, people are obsessed with wellness and making themselves the best they can be. And this negative stigma, unfortunately, with therapy is that you need to have a problem. You need to have a documented type of diagnosis to receive therapy. And I honestly don't really think that's true. I think anyone could use a therapist, but also with a coach, having that stigma away, it's like it's your own personal, not an assistant, but someone that you can bounce your voice back on, someone who can kind of like keep you straight and making sure you're focused. And I think a lot of people will hire a coach because a coach is someone you can talk to on the phone or the hours are different. You don't need to go in and meet them in some kind of clinical setting. So,
yeah, interesting, interesting. So a lot of women are dealing with a lot of issues right now. And so what are some coaching techniques for women that maybe that you use?
I think some of the things I tell, and this is especially with my younger female clients, is like how to promote themselves and how to make themselves feel successful. You know, it's not just about talking about yourself and having the perfect resume and handing it to someone. It's about being able to promote other people, just like on this show, how you're able to promote other people so they promote you back.
Right.
And not just asking for favors, but doing those favors too and kind of like spreading yourself forward so that you get that return on your investment. And then another thing I think is a big tip is always like learning what is the best value for your time with these women? Because a lot of times, you know, we're constantly asking things like, is that okay for you? Or I'm not sure, what do you think about this? And it's not creating that sense of confidence that I think women need to have this in this era, especially with all of the women in the working force. And so being able to have an assertive voice and feel confident and bring that presence in the room. And instead of saying something like, would it be okay if I did this, into, I'm wondering what you think about this plan that I made, you know, bringing that solution, not talking about some problem that they're seeing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of the things that I've noticed, and it's in a lot of the research that I did when I was going about writing the book, and that women don't tend to toot our own horn enough. We don't tend to promote ourselves enough. We tend to delay taking that job because we don't think we're ready yet. And so that self-confidence comes out. Even when they talked with Sheryl Sandberg, who wrote the book Lean In, I mean, she's COO of Facebook. She was COO of Google. She talked about how when she went to negotiate for salary with Mark Zuckerberg, that she was even doubting herself if she was worth that much money. So it's that all fear of getting caught. They may find out I'm not good enough. And how do you help women deal with that confidence, you know, pushing outside your comfort zone, and how do you deal with kind of helping women get that confidence back?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, close to 100% of men are not afraid to go in and ask for that raise or ask for that salary because they feel that they deserve it. But when you ask women, and a lot of the research says this, is they will basically pass off their successes as, oh, it was a good group effort, or I had a lot of help, I have a supportive family, and you don't often see, oh, I worked really hard, I deserve this. And so it's trying to flip that switch, because we're seeing just as many college degrees, just as many educated women, and they're not taking the time to go and, you know, really assert for what they feel they believe in. So I think just practicing and like making bios about themselves and having them point out what they're so proud of in their accomplishments, I think just trying to flip that.
Yeah, focusing on their accomplishments, because you're right. I mean, women just, we tend to say, my team did this, or they did this, instead of saying, I did this, or my team and I, if you're not comfortable saying, I did this, maybe start with, well, my team and I did this, so that you're in there, because we're just, men aren't afraid. I mean, they'll see a job posting that's got 10 characteristics, and they only have three of them, and they apply. The woman sees that same job with 10 characteristics, they have nine, and they're thinking, I'm not ready yet. And so it's really getting that confidence back. I like what you say about, you know, writing down your accomplishments and asking for more. Can you say a little bit more about that?
Well, I think sometimes, and especially for the millennial women who are trying to get that first job, they're thinking they're intimidating by these women that have 10 plus years experience. And keeping a track of your achievements, even if it's something like beyond just a resume, because things like a lot of different events that you may have planned or had a part in, writing that down and being able to, I guess, appropriately brag about yourself, it shows that you have demonstrated the qualities that are needed in these jobs. And you don't need to have 10 plus years of experience, because we all start somewhere. And part of that learning process is failing and failing forward. And
failing forward.
Yeah. That is like a classic term that I use with a lot of clients, because one of my professors, Catherine Whitaker, I will never forget this. She talked about, if I never failed, I would have never had these successes. And failing forward, each time you have a failure, whether it's big or small, you're learning something from it, and you're choosing a different decision and a different path. Versus, like, if I just said no, I would never have that experience. Or if I tried and I might fail, I could rearrange my plan. So
yeah,
I think that that's important, to not be afraid of that.
I really like that quote. Can you say that again?
Failing forward.
Failing forward.
Yeah. I can't coin it. It's not mine. It's my professor, Catherine Whitaker. So she is truly amazing, and definitely inspired me a lot throughout my experience in grad school, because she's one of those empowering women where you don't feel afraid to be yourself. You don't feel afraid to be loud and express your voice and be heard.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. And I always think about that when somebody, there's an old technique that actually came out of the military called an after action review. And it's that every time something happens, whether it be a failure or just a small mistake, whatever you want to call it, is to ask yourself, what happened? What did I learn from it? And what would I do differently next time? And we should do that with both incidences or examples, like when something goes really well, like you did. You had an amazing event that you organized for NABO, like you're working on the monthly mixers. You had an amazing event that you were helping organize, and then what did you learn from that? What would you do differently next time so you continue to grow? But I really like that fail forward. So one of the things you talk about also that for young women, I'm thinking specifically for a lot of millennial young women, is about asking for more and maybe practicing some negotiating skills. Again, the research says most women don't negotiate very well. Mm-hmm. We may not think we're worth it or whatever. So when you say ask for more, negotiating is one of the most challenging things for women professionals. How do you help them, or what are some ideas of how they could tone up their negotiation skills?
Well, I think when some of the women come in and see me, I ask them, you know, point blank, before they would just go to their boss, is do they feel like they deserve this? Have they been working hard? And you can't really compare yourself to the next person who you think is working hard, because we don't know what we do in our home lives. And with women, it's a lot. It's extremely tough because we're trying to balance our families, our marriages, our friends, and having to do it all and work. It's like, I want them to feel confident. So we kind of start off and almost do like a practice run. And I remember with one client specifically, we literally stood side by side, and we had a big mirror in front of us, and we recited this poem about something about self-esteem that she had written, and we said it loud, and I was like, no, I want to hear your voice. I want to hear you yell. And it was extremely empowering for her, and it was empowering for me to see this person have a voice who was definitely felt suppressed in her marriage with her children. And it was just truly amazing to see how she was able to gain that confidence and go up to her boss that following week and talk about what she felt like she deserved, the salary that she felt like she, you know, was definitely more than worthy. And then coming in the next week and talking about it was great. So
that's awesome. That's awesome. We have to put some time and practice that and actually talk into a mirror. Actually, when I was going through my fall, I'll call it the fall, there was a book I had purchased called You Can Change Your Life, or You Can Heal Your Life. Louise Hayes, you're probably familiar with it. Mm-hmm. And she talked about doing mirror work, like sitting in front of the mirror and saying things to yourself positively. And people probably thought I was crazy. I was living in Washington at the time, and one of my things was I loved certain songs like I Think I Can Fly, or, you know, What Doesn't Kill You Make You Stronger, or Roar, or all these different songs. And I would have my headset on, and I'd be walking through the forest by our house with my little pug dog, Roxy, and I'd be screaming these songs. And I'm sure people in the forest thought, who is this crazy person? But, you know, and I had my affirmations on my mirror, and the best place I found to practice my confidence and affirmations and getting myself back to center was in my car. On the freeway, going to work, nobody cared, nobody could hear you, was just practicing those as you went forward.
And actually, it's funny you say that, because that is usually how I start with a lot of clients, especially the ones that are anxious to talk in front of people or scared to have their voice heard in a group, is to practice in the car, because like you said, there's no fear there, and you hear how you sound, or recording yourself and you hear how it comes out. So I think it's funny that you said that.
You said something, and we'll take a break in just a few minutes, but you said something I found sort of interesting, is that sometimes when you're life coaching the individual, whether it be a man or a woman, you also end up helping the kids. Because I know you still work at the school district and do some life coaching, I guess, or some therapy with the kids. What are some of the ways that you help families become whole and through your coaching?
Well, I think working at the school, I work with a lot of elementary students primarily, and a lot of these issues that typically come up with their behaviors and whatnot, or if they're feeling like some more social-emotional issues, is lack of parent involvement. And getting those parents to come in and having that family meeting, and it ends up being usually some sort of type of couple session at the end of the meeting, because you figure out what's going on in that home life that's actually ends up playing out with their children in the school. And I think it's important to be able to have that opportunity to work with the families, because it's like a lot of people will come in and bring their child to a therapist, but they're not seeing any change, because you really have to work with the whole family and seeing, well, where are those problems coming from? How are they presented? Is it, you know, being modeled at home? And even going into some of these homes, like getting a lot of that experience as well has been helpful.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's very interesting. So what are some of the shocking obstacles that millennials like yourself face today? They're 50. So millennials are now 50% of the voting population. Mm-hmm. So they are our future. People out there, love and care for your millennials. And they're more than 50% of the workforce. So talk a little bit about the millennials for a bit.
Well, and this is what I found interesting, too, because obviously I'm a member of this generation. I thought it was so interesting that we are the most educated generation in history, but we have the most debt, and we are 40% of what makes up the unemployment rate. And this is, you know, based off the U.S. Census data. And just thinking about how these people are not, they're earning the same salary that they were in 1999, and yet we have an average of, you know, $30,000-$40,000 in student debt, and we're not even able to pay our debt, yet we're so educated, and it's no wonder that all these mental health issues are popping up and anxiety, and we're having the highest rates of depression and anxiety that of all time. Granted, I know that that wasn't even really looked at back in the baby boomer generation. It wasn't even discussed. Yeah. But it does make sense that all these stressors are kind of coming up with this millennial generation, because we're not earning the things and we're working so hard to be educated and then having to go into a job where you're undervalued and underappreciated. I mean, it makes a lot of sense why there's a lot of stress coming up and a lot of lack of purpose. And then also, like, the fact that the suicide rate is tripled in this generation, it just, I think, screams volumes that coaching and therapy and any type of self-help is definitely necessary.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I also heard it's not only that they make up, millennials make up a large percentage of the unemployed, they also make up a large, large percentage of the underemployed.
Yes, yes.
Those who went to college, did everything they were supposed to mm-hmm. do. They went to college, maybe they got a master's degree, they did all the right things, they belong to the right clubs, they come out of college and they can't find a job, and if they do, mm-hmm. it is way below what they should have been doing.
Yeah, and that's really unfortunate, because it's almost like the bachelor degree is the new high school diploma.
Yeah.
And so you can't even start to get anywhere unless you have a master's, and then now you're so swamped with student debt if you weren't able to get
yeah.
any scholarships that you're really just starting about 10 steps back versus our parents and generations before that. You know, we didn't have to live off so much debt and, you know, paycheck to paycheck. We were actually able to earn a living salary. And
yeah.
especially in Orange County now, there is such a decrease in the millennials there, because we're not even able to afford to live where our parents are,
yeah.
you know, raising
yeah.
us.
Yeah. I actually heard, and we'll take a quick break in just a second, but I actually heard that also, well, this may be the first generation that doesn't live as long as their parents' generation yeah. because of the obesity and mm-hmm. the food that's out there. Also, too, that they are probably the first generation that's going to not earn as much as their parents did. And so it's really, we need to do some things to really change that around. And some of it probably does start with therapy. So before we take a quick break, Brandy, I want to make sure we do it now, and we'll also do it at the end. If people want to get in touch with you, how do they get in touch with you to maybe work with you, or maybe they want to help with their kids?
So I have a website, and it's BrandyMartinCoaching.com. And that website kind of talks about all the trainings I've gone to and all the different types of services I provide. And a lot of clients will email me through Brandy@BrandyMartinCoaching.com, or they can even schedule an appointment through my main line, which is 949-244-3618. And, you know, if they just get their foot in the door, then they can we can start a plan and work somewhere.
And it's Brandy with an I, right?
Brandy with an I, yes. Brandy with an I.
Okay. All right. Well, great. So we'll come back and we'll start talking a little bit more about the millennials. And I think we need, the interesting conversation will be my generation, the baby boomers, or the mm-hmm. the Gen Xers. What can we do to work better with millennials? How could we work better with you, but how can we work better together overall? So we'll take a quick commercial break, and we'll come back, and we'll keep talking with Brandy Martin, a wonderful life coach.
Imagine what it would feel like to lose everything. Your job, your home, your family, your dignity. This has happened to thousands of the men, women, veterans, and young adults we serve at Working Wardrobes. What do we do to help? We provide career development services, life skills workshops, job skills training. We provide the perfect interview outfit, and we get clients placed in jobs. Call Working Wardrobes, 714-210-2460. Donate, volunteer, invest, hire.
When it comes to pioneers in their respective industries, we all know the Apples, Starbucks, and Trader Joe's of the world. In the realm of recruiting, Decision Toolbox is the industry's best-kept secret. With 90% of their business from referrals and repeat customers, for over 20 years, Decision Toolbox's U.S.-based team of recruiters, sourcers, professional writers, quality personnel, and tech support has perfected a Six Sigma approach to talent management. No matter the size of the project, Decision Toolbox delivers incredible results. A cost per hire less than half of what contingency firms charge. With the winning candidate presented in an average of 14 days. all with a 12-month candidate warranty. With results like that, Decision Toolbox won't be a secret for long. Visit us at www.dtoolbox.com for more information.
All right, back to Patty and her guest.
Hi, this is Patty. I'm here with Brandy Martin of Brandy Martin Life Coaching. So let's talk a little bit more about this whole millennial thing and some interesting statistics that you've shared with me around the millennials in terms of things like they have more anxiety, but also they're having children later in life. Mm-hmm. And so what are some ideas and thoughts you have about millennials and how they could move forward?
Well, I think this sort of a problem with millennials coming, I mean, including myself, is that we're having so much education and then being so swamped in debt that, you know, 30% of them are moving back in with their parents. And it's not even unusual these days to see college grads trying to find a job, and they're getting jobs for, you know, $12, $13, $14, $15 an hour. Mm-hmm. And then they're being forced to move back home with their parents. And so it's pushing that, you know, getting married later, having kids later, and having less kids because they, you know, not even able to afford to have, let alone getting married, having your own place. I mean, we're focused on different things, and it's usually, you know, 30 plus, that's when we're starting to think about families. And I think it's just been such a difficult problem because now all these things like struggling to have kids and infertility issues are popping up so often now because women aren't even trying to have their first child until 33, 34, 35, later on finding out that it's not going to happen. And then this new concept of involuntary childlessness is coming in too. And then these people are almost forced to have, not even be able to have families. So that's been also another problem too, having less kids. And it's almost like our generation is deteriorating in some kind of sort of sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's always this, there seems to be, and I've got a lot of friends who call me and say, I've got this millennial working for me. And they just frustrate the heck out of me. You know, and what I always tell, first thing I tell my millennial friends is, wait a minute, time out. 40, 50 years ago, you were that same person. Your parents' generation said the same thing about us. We were college graduates. We seemed to know everything. We wanted to be president of the company in 10 years. What can baby boomers do to work with millennials better? Maybe understand what they're looking for.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I actually watched a documentary on this about the millennial generation and their value that they brought to this kind of tech world that we're now, I mean, whether we like it or not, you're forced to upgrade your things. You're forced to
upgrade my phone. I do not like the updates on my phone.
Right. It's like you're forced to get a new computer every 6 months. The upgrade is on the phones, the online, everything is online, auto pay, and everything is at the touch of a button. And I can definitely empathize, and I, especially when a lot of my Gen X clients come in and they do feel frustrated with working with millennials or having a newer, younger person come in and now these people are replacing their jobs. But I think having antenna, like more like psychoeducation, but with these clients, trying to educate them about having compassion for this millennial generation, because there is, although we're more educated, we have so many of these obstacles that are against us, and having that compassion, I think that they're now wiping out these really seasoned people and bringing in these new people for half the pay. And it's almost like everything is cutting labor costs. And these people are, this younger generation is being forced to work for little to no pay. And I think having these, the baby boomer generation kind of put themselves into that millennial generation's feet has been, sometimes it's really helpful because that wasn't really a problem when they were that age. You know, they waited in line to register for college classes and you got your degree in 4 years. There wasn't things like obstacles like that that would set you back where you couldn't even go to college because there's not even enough student loans out there or there's not even enough spots in this class. So now you're going to wait another whole year to graduate and become swamped with even more student debt. And so it really does, it's creating a lot of problems. And I think that's the biggest thing, once again, I'll just say, is compassion and really having empathy for this generation, because we do bring a lot of value as far as, sure, all this information is much easier to access and people could call us lazy, but we are able to accomplish and have so much output because of all of these amazing advancements that have been made in technology, such as the internet. And I mean, just emailing has been having those quick messages and all the social media, being able to promote businesses. And, you know, we can hire a 20-something person these days to be our social media guru. And now your business is a multi-million dollar business.
So
I think using the qualities that we have and embracing those has been definitely empowering when I'm trying to have these two generations work together. And also for the millennials, those values that that generation brings as well, I think, are important. So having both of these generations being able to empathize with each other, I think, is definitely been the most beneficial from what I've seen.
Yeah. And the interesting thing is that I'm also talking with people like Brandy and other millennials is that we simply grew up different. I mean, we didn't have computers when we grew up early. We still had the dial-up phone, you know, the rotary dial phone that basically are antiques now. You know, when we did finally adopt computers, but we grew up and we searched for everything on a computer. Millennials search for everything on their phone. Everything is quicker, faster. You can get access to information, you know, amazingly. If we went, if we needed to write a paper in college, we had to go find a library and go pull out the periodicals out of the microfiche things and go through tons and tons of encyclopedias and things to find that, where a millennial will get their phone and instantly search for something and be able to get that information. So things are just different. When we grew up, we didn't even have car seats. Right, I fell out of the back of my brother's truck because like, we didn't have seat belts, we didn't have car seats, those kinds of things. And so, and the other thing I find interesting is that we grew up with like complete freedom. Like there was no fear of danger. There wasn't fear of being kidnapped or any of these kinds of things. It probably happened in my generation, but it just wasn't in the news. It wasn't as frequent. So we would be, if we were home before dark, we were usually in trouble. With the millennial generation, you grew up with, you know, car seats and crash helmets, and don't ride your bike without crash helmets. Don't go rollerblading without crash helmets and elbow and knee pads. And, you know, don't go too far and check in with me every few minutes. And so you take the millennial who was raised in that environment, now you put them in a work environment, and they're going to struggle a little bit because they're looking for some boundaries.
Yeah. And that is something that I do notice, because with millennials and myself, we are definitely a risky generation. We take risks. We do things that are probably not considered safe by what our parents would say. We're probably not the best at having a savings account and talking to our financial planners. But
you will.
Right, right. I'm sure that that's going to be the main topic of my something that's important to me in the next couple of years. But I think we're so focused on the here and now and creating new every couple months. And especially with all of the tech stuff, it's like these new apps are coming out, or this new banking system, or this all these new types of ways to interact and online shopping and all these conveniences that we're trying to. Ultimately, I think the mission is to make the world easier, more accessible place, but I think it causes so much conflict with the baby boomer generation because they see it as making everything difficult and tough and confusing. But we're seeing it as, no, like, now you can get your movie right here. You can pick your seat now. You can do this now. You can have your meals delivered right to your door. Like, all these conveniences that are helping the older generations too, especially like having, gosh, all these like ride share things. And I do understand this issue of safety, because I could see how that wasn't really a thing. And I think it's really tough now with social media, because when something terrible happens, it gets blasted throughout, you know, all of the U.S. will know about something, all over the world will know about something. And gosh, like that, I can't imagine what it would be like to not have, because being growing up in that era, you really have to be cautious about what you put on the internet. And there are people that cyber bullies, and that's become a huge thing, especially what I see with a lot of the young kids that I have worked with personally. And cyberbullying is a really huge thing. And stuff like that didn't ever exist. You know, you get made fun of. It's just in your city. You move to the next school, and it's over with. And, yeah, I think that issue of safety definitely is starting to come up more, because it's so accessible to meet a variety of people, and especially something like this online dating.
Right.
That has become this huge way to, I guess, meet the new love of your life. Is, okay, let's make a website, and let's have you meet a total stranger that you have no connections with, and they meet, and you're right, this could be a potential situation for danger, especially for women. So
yeah Yeah, it's interesting because when you think about just the generation differences, it's like we both need to have compassion, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we're looking for the millennials to recognize that, you know, we've been there, done that, and that on the other side, my generation needs to really look at open eyes and look at what are the valuable things they bring to an organization. A lot of times I tell people I've had really good success with working with interns. Mm-hmm. And getting them to say, can you just help me figure out how to do this social media piece that I need? Because I could go learn it, or I could work with a young person who has the skills that I need that could do better than I could ever do. And like you said, we have to think about, especially as women, where are we investing our time? Mm-hmm. Is it worth my time to go spend weeks, days, months trying to build something? Or can I hire a really smart young person and give them some direction and just say, come back with three ideas and mm-hmm. we can talk about it. So it's really valuing what each individual generation brings more than looking at the negatives. Let's look at what they bring to the party.
Mm-hmm. And I think like having that different set of eyes, like having that fresh look where you'll have your own plan and then, like you said, having a younger intern or somebody that I guess would be kind of like an expert in that field is so helpful because they're coming up with things, check boxes, click here, and you know, all types of stuff, because I definitely needed help when I had was making my own website, because even though I'm a millennial, I'm definitely tech challenged at times. So but
glad to hear that.
Yeah. I mean, it is tough. Just like figuring out how to hook up a wireless printer was like a whole crazy task for me. But then seeing these like 13-year-olds that are designing apps and websites and will roll their eyes at me, and especially at my school, these kids are showing me how to do stuff. So, I mean, it's so impressive with these the younger kids, and I mean, a lot of the millennial generation they're even capable of.
Yeah. So much more. The funny thing, when we moved into our house, we live in pretty close to a year ago, and we never could quite get the DVD player to play with the TV quite well, so we ended up not being able to rent movies for a while until my son came at Christmas time and had to rewire our living room so we could actually now watch movies on the DVD, mm-hmm. on the Blu-ray DVD player.
Right, and now that's not even... Now everything's on demand, and everything's recorded, and we all have Netflix, and it's downloadable
Hulu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like right when you feel like you get the hang of something. And, I mean, this is just as much for me as well as I think for the baby boomer generation, is that the next new thing will come out, and so who knows what the next thing is. And, I mean, I grew up with a Walkman, so I remember that, and then going to everybody at the gym had a CD player, and then everybody had a non-skip CD player, and then when the iPod came out, that was like the coolest thing ever. And now our phones are essentially 90 different things in one little pocket-sized device. It's amazing.
There's actually more technology in a cell phone than the scientists had when the first man went to the moon and came back.
I believe it.
There's more technology in your hand than they had in that entire... You know, getting somebody to the moon and back. You know, the other thing I think is just you said compassion for millennials. I think compassion for the baby boomers as well, mm-hmm. and just recognizing what they can bring. They can bring a fresh approach, because in today's business environment, everybody's going to be Uberized, right? So Uber mm-hmm. was created by two men who were standing in Paris on a rainy day after a nice dinner. It's 1:00 in the morning. They can't get a cab. The cab industry's been around since the horse and buggy days, mm-hmm. and nothing's changed in cabs except they've changed the color. Maybe they put in some technology like a TV screen, but it's still a cab. And so they were standing outside this Paris restaurant and said, wouldn't it be great, and they're looking at their cell phone, if we could get a car to come right where we are. We had the license plate and the picture of the driver, and they knew what we looked for, and we could get this on-demand car service. Mm-hmm. And Uber's changing the world. And so the other thing millennials bring for people that are listening, they're in business environment, is they can stop you from being Uberized, right? They can bring in an idea that you'd never thought about.
Mm-hmm.
And what you want to do as the baby boomer is be patient and listen and ask some questions about the idea, because it could help propel your business or mm-hmm. keep your competitive advantage, because some millennial had this brilliant idea for a new app that was going to change the way you run your business.
Yeah. I think that I really like that you said that, because something that I mean, coming from this millennial generation, we are totally into helping. We want to help. We want to intern. We want to learn. We want to do all these things. And I think we really do respect. I mean, I'm sure there's some outliers there that are not so much, but I think we really do respect the quality that the baby boomer generation brings to us, because there's things I'll learn from my dad that I would have never learned from somebody my age, because there's some computer doing it now. And But also at the same time, the frustrating parts is getting that that shift. I mean, just thinking of a story with my own mom. She did not want to convert to the iPhone for so long. She was just resistant, wanted to use her little very, very old school phone, didn't upgrade or anything. Finally, we just forced her to buy the iPhone. And I remember within months, she was like, oh, thank you. You changed my life. Now I have maps everywhere. I'm never going to get lost. I can do my banking and can transfer this and do that and check my email. And so I think it's that initial resistance because it is change. It's scary. I think even for us, we don't want to always have to upgrade all our stuff. It's totally different system. You know, like when Windows, the new Windows operating system came out, everybody was freaking out because it was so different.
Right.
But, you know, you get used to it and oftentimes it ends up being more beneficial. And if not, there's always going to be a new upgrade, right?
Yeah. Well, and I was wondering the other day, like, how did we ever get around without a GPS in our phone?
I have no idea.
I mean, I know we had for a while, we had the little,
The Thomas guides.
And I was
still there when I was driving.
And you'd have to figure out, okay, so this location is at M2.
Yeah.
And then you have to
turn to page 15 to find that page in this map. I know, we had the Thomas guide. And they were pros at it, like... Now, like, if we get lost, like, that is something I noticed, too, is the lack of direction that the millennial generation has. I think we're really bad at directions.
Oh, yeah.
And we're really bad at, we're kind of almost helpless. If someone was to take away our iPhone, it's almost like, now what do I do?
It'd be like withdrawal with an addict.
Right.
I mean,
right.
What do I do? When I tell people sometimes to turn off their phone when I'm doing a workshop, they're like, oh, but what if somebody calls? Mm-hmm. But, you know, think about it. How would we get around? And I still, to this day, when we go on long trips, like when we travel up to Seattle to see family or Portland to see my son, I still want the good old traditional road atlas because I like to look at the distance, the long pictures of it. But then we still use the GPS or the phone to get us where we need to do.
Yeah. I think that that's really important, though, because I know if I get lost with, like, somebody like my dad, he, for some reason, I could call him, and I could be literally anywhere in Orange County, and he always knows, are you going to make a right on that next two street? I think that that's Vermont Street, and the 5 is going to be right there on your right. And he just knows. And I think that that's something that comes with that generation, because you didn't have cell phones, you didn't have this, so when you broke down, there wasn't AAA going to pick you up and fix your life for you, like this millennial generation, where we are very privileged to have all these people to help us. So we're almost not learning these crucial basic skills. So I think that's something that I would take from the baby boomer generation and have the millennials be more compassionate of that, because there's so much that that generation can offer us.
Yeah.
Because, like, we are just not fortunate enough to spend enough time learning these basic tasks that are so important.
Yeah.
I think that it goes both ways.
Yeah. So what advice do you have for women millennials? We'll talk about this at the end as well, but what can women, millennial women, do to succeed in the work environment if they decide to work for a company, if they want to start their own business?
Well, I think coming up with that game plan and showing that company what you have to offer and what you can bring to that company to help them be a success, because ultimately it's about that company, not yourself. And leading with that message of, I'm trying to help as a team, I'm not trying to boast myself and better myself. And so with women, there's so many things that they can offer now, being able, especially with this whole new juggling working woman, you know, if she can do it, I can do it. And then this competition thing that starts happening among the work area. I think I would definitely always, I'm always pushing women to make up a game plan and, you know, taking this risk. And back to what we talked about earlier, you know, making those strategic choices with your time. You know, you don't need to apply for 37 different jobs. You need to sit down, hone in on those five that you really want, your dream jobs, or, you know, close to it, those jobs that are, you know, are going to segue you into something successful, and really focus on that. Research those companies and get to know the person that owns that company and lead with something personal. Make yourself memorable. Because in this millennial generation, we really don't focus on... Nobody ever got anywhere by fitting in with the crowd, I think, in this generation. And the message that I would give is to not be afraid to stand out, because we're rewarded for that. Standing out, dressing weird, or being yourself. Who cares if your handwritten note is misspelled all over the place, but it's like, what do you bring as a person to this team, you know? And I don't know, I think that personable piece is really catching on and becoming so important in that workforce.
Yeah, I like the comment you made about being memorable. And focusing on something you said earlier about focusing on your accomplishments. Something I would recommend for people to do is keep an accomplishment file, or I used to call it a gratitude file.
Yeah.
And every time you do something well, you know, write it down and keep it in a little file, whether it's on your computer or on your phone or it's a physical file. If you get a compliment letter from a customer or somebody, keep that in your file, whatever file you use, electronic or otherwise, so that you have all these lists of accomplishments. And so when you are ready for that job promotion, you have evidence that says, here's all the things I did. Or if you have to do the awful, awful annual performance appraisal, which I think my generation hated and your generation really dislikes.
Yes.
Because you wait a whole year, in some cases, to really hear what you're doing or get a raise.
And often
you have evidence.
It's like turnover, too.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even the same boss when you have that, too.
Yeah. Yeah, so one of the things I think we need to think about as our generation is what systems are we putting in place to allow millennials to flourish. For example, a lot of companies are getting rid of the old performance appraisal system and replacing it with either monthly or quarterly checkups, for lack of a better term, of how somebody's doing. So they're more frequently getting feedback. And they're also more frequently maybe getting a little bit of a raise. And so instead of getting one raise at the end of the year, maybe you get a certain amount each quarter that helps keep people motivated. It's interesting in my research, a lot of what millennials are looking for in the workplace, women are looking for in the workplace. So what are some of the things that you think millennials really look for in a workplace, either when they're choosing to work there or choosing to stay there? Because that'll help a lot of our listeners that are in the baby boomer or Gen X generation that are in management positions saying, how could I work with this person better? So what are millennials really looking for, somebody like you?
Well, I think our generation, we just get so much positive, or we just get a lot of good output when we have positive praise. There's so much research on just something like, you know, taking someone's work, looking at it in front of them, giving them kind of that acknowledgement, wow, this is really great. I feel very lucky to have you on my team. And we're seeing this a lot now with a lot of women business owners. And they're having such a great, they're focusing so much on that, having that positive work environment. And I would say that's so important these days, to have a positive work environment, having those team bonding, and having a boss that knows who you are as a person. I think, you know, when I'm hearing stories about my parents and the things that they've done when they were growing up, you would just go, wake up, do your job. Nobody would have to tell you you're good at anything, and you go home and you make money and you do it all over again.
Yeah.
But for some reason, our generation, we are just so motivated by positive praise and compliments and feeling appreciated. And that alone, usually, and a lot of the research shows that just having somebody be supportive of you and, you know, somebody who knows who you are, gives you more of a reason to continue your work. And some of the research that I read, they had studies where people were given just, it was like little puzzles and whatnot, and they, just by having something like a positive praise or like good job, they continue that same puzzle, or they were able to do like 12 more tasks, versus if people had no praise, it was they did like half the time, and then if someone was to have it, they did their work and then it got shredded right in front of them. They were less likely to continue. But the most interesting thing I noticed with that generation was when you said nothing, or when you shredded someone's work right in front of them, the effect was exactly the same.
Right.
So that's going to show that as a boss.
That's interesting.
If you say nothing, it's almost as bad as shredding someone's work right in front of them.
That's interesting. That's interesting. And the other thing from some of the research that we've both done is that a lot of what women are looking for in the workplace is what millennials are looking for in the workplace. They're looking for that positive praise. They're looking for a sense of accomplishment, somebody to develop them. They're looking for a company or a place they can go to work where they feel they're making a difference and the company has a mission, vision, values that they actually use. And they're looking for things for sometimes flexible work hours. My millennial friends get frustrated because they're like, well, this person, they just, it's lunchtime and they took their lunch, but there's still customers in line. And why'd they take their lunch, or why are they going home at 5 o'clock? Because they want the work-life balance that I don't think our generation ever really had. So kind of, this may be our, coming close to our last question. It's been great chatting with you today. What three things do you believe have helped you beat the odds as a millennial in the working world? What's helped you be successful? And I think this is also advice for women out there.
Well, I mean, obviously, to start with, I couldn't have been successful where I am today without the support of my family and friends. And I think that's definitely crucial to have that backing. But I mean, just starting with being able to have these hard conversations with yourself, like, what am I gaining from this? Why am I doing this? Is there a purpose in this? Is there an end goal for all of this work that I'm doing? Are we just going to college just to get the degree, just to fulfill some checklist? I know for me, I had no idea that I wanted to do anything. I didn't even know what a coach was. I didn't even know that was a career, let alone therapy. I mean, I just went and was going to do a business degree like every other person. And then finding that path where you want to wake up every day and say, you know, this is really meaningful. Mm-hmm. Definitely, I would say, is one of the tips to beat the odds, especially with our generation. And also giving yourself the grace to fail, like we talked about earlier, failing forward. There's nothing that could come bad from failing, unless you want to look at it in a negative way. But failing is that opportunity to grow and learn. Mm-hmm. If we just had everything given to us and we never had any failures, we wouldn't be equipped to handle something. We were going to have failures in our life.
Exactly.
And so it's almost like practice for the real world. You know, it's okay if you fail the class. You're not an ultimate failure in school. You're not. You're still a smart person. You're still an educated person. We're not perfect. And I think a lot of the great ideas come from failing and learning how to do something in a better way, in a different way. And it makes you flexible.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, lastly, it's finding that signature you and developing who you are. I know for myself, definitely figuring out who I was as a therapist and as a coach, I can't be like this other person who I really aspire. I'm not them, and I don't talk like them, and I don't have that same style.
Exactly.
But, you know, like, you can have your role models and aspire to be like them, but I think embracing those things that give you this, I call it you-ness, mm-hmm. is so important for this millennial generation, because we are made and bred to stand out, mm-hmm. not to, I guess, just be another black shirt in the crowd. So.
Right. So I encourage people, and I like what you said. You call it your signature sauce.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that. But the idea of having some sense of purpose. And mm-hmm. so I encourage people to write their own you incorporated personal leadership vision,
mm-hmm.
which is go find your favorite place. Mine happens to be at the beach. Yours might happen to be in the mountains or hiking or something. And take a piece of paper with you and write down, if someone was going to write an article about you or tell a story on the news, what would you want that article to mm-hmm. say about you? And to create that you incorporated your brand, and then you use that brand in combination with your strengths to find and make career choices, and to find in the kinds of clients you work with, the kinds of situations that you mm-hmm. actually do.
Yeah, because you want your clients to sign up to work with you.
Right.
Because there's tons of coaches and therapists, but it's all about the fit. And are you going to be beneficial in their life? And I want to make an impact in every client's life, because they make impacts in my life. And I try to be a better person every day for them.
Okay. So what's one last word of advice for women millennials out there? What would be your last words of advice? I'll say words. I want to be a word.
I would just say, if an opportunity presents itself that you're not sure of, I would say grab it, because you don't have anything to lose. It's either grab it and try, or you'll never have that opportunity.
Okay. Well, great. And so, again, how do we get in touch with you? Brandy with an I?
Brandy with an I. So it's brandymartincoaching.com. Email is brandy@brandymartincoaching.com. And then my main line is area code 949-244-3618.
Great. And I think we all learned some great lessons from Brandy in terms of being a life coach. And also, it's a good conversation around sort of what millennials are looking for in the workplace, which is very similar to what women are looking for in the workplace. Mm-hmm. So I want to thank everybody for listening today. I really appreciate your feedback. And so, my name is Patty Grimm, and I'm the author, speaker, radio show host, trainer. And my book is called Quiet Women Never Change History, Be Strong, Stand Up, Stand Out, with the subtitle of Let's Go Kick Some Glass. If you want to get in contact with me, I am PattyGrimm@live.com, and that's Patty, PattyGrimm at LIVE.com, or you can call me at 949-304-0800. If you want to call in and make suggestions for future shows, or send me an email on future shows you'd like to hear about, if you'd like to be on the show, contact me, because this is really a community service for your business or your nonprofit or something that you're passionate about. Give me feedback on the show to make it more relevant. You want to be a guest on the show. And if you want to be able to book me for a conference or webinar or get in contact with Brandy, please reach out to us. You know, each week my goal is to bring you current relevant topics that are important to women and the issues and things we deal with. And it was very great to have Brandy here today to talk about her life coaching business, her therapy business, but more importantly, her thoughts on how to be a great millennial and how baby boomers, Gen Xers, and millennials can all work together better.
Mm-hmm. So thanks so
everybody.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it was great having you here today. So have a great day, and let's go kick some glass.
Thanks for listening to Women Kicking Glass, the only radio show on OC Talk Radio dedicated to empowering women to be the best they can be. Listen each week or download the podcast at patty.grim.podbean.com. To reach out to Patty to schedule a speech webinar or to learn more about her leadership and team training, contact Patty at pattygrim@live.com. For more information about her company and her books, have a kicking day.